What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nobody texted in. Everybody did.
Not on YouTube. They're having random conversations by having the show on and not listening.
That irritates Mike so
much. I'm just going to give you a little insight into some of the responses from the 469. I'm not listening, guys. Sorry. But they still knew to text in. From the 972.
Awesome.
Just let Mike know I'm not listening. From the 817. Always listening. From the 469. Relax, guys. I've been listening since 2012. And then also from the 214, I have been listening, but I'm about to walk into the Kroger for a minute. Yeah. So
that's what the Odyssey app is for. Turn it on your phone.
Here's YouTube. Mark still breastfeeding on his mama. That's not the answer. What? I need.
Who's Mark?
Confused circuit board. That's who's texted that in.
Breastfeeding really cuts your
MDN.
No, it's just calling some guy out and Mike reading it.
I need ice cream, cookies, and cream.
Okay.
That's what we get responding on YouTube on are you listening right now or not?
Is it weird that I kind of sometimes will eat cookies and cream, but I hate Oreos? That is
a little weird.
What's wrong with
also, from the person from the 817, it's not my fault they ran an old commercial, but you're right. Justin Herbert is not in the playoffs anymore.
What?
I also have questions about why that's getting run. All right. Now, tonight, we're going to preview the national championship game. And then Corey has a side question. I think it's really intriguing. Maybe we get to it here. Maybe we don't.
Maybe we don't.
Because it takes plenty of time. Ohio State and Notre Dame. I know the point spread, and we talked about this last week, Carter. We bring in Carter Freeman, as always, to talk all things college football, is overwhelmingly in Ohio State's favor. And you know how this goes, Carter. I'm not saying it's right, not saying it's fair, but people are like, I've seen Notre Dame in this situation before, and I've seen them lose by a million points. They're underdog heavily tonight. They're going to lose by a million points. That ignores any number of variables, but I know that thought is out there. Do you look at this as a foregone conclusion this evening or not so fast, my friend?
I think Ohio State's going to win. I think bottom line, I do think they're the better team. I think they've looked like the better team throughout the CFP. But that, yeah, to just say that they're just going to run by Notre Dame, I think is silly. And they have that history, but just the way Notre Dame has won throughout the playoff has impressed me to the point where I think they can hang with just about anybody from, you know, manhandling Indiana. Manhandling Georgia was really impressive to me, even though they had the backup quarterback. And then getting down by double digits to Penn State and coming back to win that game. They've won in several different ways, so I don't see why they can't compete. And you saw some things that Texas did to slow Ohio State down, like when they held Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State's stud receiver, to one catch for 3 yards. It helps that Ohio State has Amika Igbuka and Carnell Tate, a ton of other weapons to go to, but they found ways to bracket some of Ohio State's best players. So I think Notre Dame can learn from that tonight.
Okay, and that was actually the direction I was going to go and kind of expand on. What is there I know you were just kind of talking about it. Is there another clear spot or positional advantage where you're like, hey, This doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but I think Notre Dame has a clear advantage in this like specific aspect of the game.
Well, Notre Dame, I think they rely more on their running backs than Ohio State does. Ohio State can spread the ball around a lot more, and I don't know what the Mavs just did, but something about it just really
infuriated
Mike.
So
yeah. By the way, the Mavericks
stupid pass from Klay Thompson. Just lay the ball up.
And it turned into points for. Oh, turned
yeah,
into
is
three
that
going to
be a 4-point play? Well, the Mavericks were up by 9.
Now it's over.
In a middle of the day Monday holiday game against the Hornets, and Mike is just, the commentary is overflowing over here.
I can see how distracting this is.
Back to you, Carter.
Notre Dame relies on the running game a lot more than Ohio State does. And Jeremiah Love's banged up, but he had a pretty okay game against Penn State
Dude,
being hurt. Had
that touchdown.
Yes.
I watched that in slow-mo with Madonna's when you call my name, whatever. Like a
prayer?
Like a prayer.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it in slow-mo the other day, and it was one of the greatest runs I've ever seen in my life. 13 different times this dude should have been tackled, and somehow his feet were able to make the right move, the right step to get to the right place. That was an insane run, and that's what I'm basing like all of this on tonight. That one run is where I'm putting it.
Wow.
Like, he's going to do that every time is what my mind keeps telling me. Although I know what Ohio State is. They are a complete team.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Historically, once again, we go back to this. This is the third highest championship line that we've seen. The other two games, they got out of hand very quickly. If, like I tell you, this game is going to end with it getting out of hand reasonably quickly, why?
It's going to be a lot like the Oregon Ohio State game, the Rose Bowl, where I don't think Oregon was completely prepared for what they were going up against. And I don't see that happening. I think this Notre Dame team is a lot more disciplined, and they've had, you know, more time, more games to go through and realize, you know, who's been hurt, who needs to step up. But it's if it gets out of hand, I think it would be Riley Leonard, Notre Dame's quarterback, turns the ball over several times early in this game. Because I need him to play nice, clean football. And what Notre Dame does really well is on those third and shorts, he can pick those up. He's picked those up all season long. They need to keep doing that. And Ohio State defensive line is incredible. So it's going to be a lot tougher challenge, I think, than anything they faced. But he needs to play nice, clean football for them to not let this get out of hand.
From the 318, I've got lots of money on Ohio State. With the points, I even gave away extra points on a couple of bets. So they're counting on like some domination. Now, your answer might change on this, and y'all, obviously, all y'all can weigh in. Let's say Ohio State, which, you know, they're favored for a reason. Maybe they win by a little, maybe they win by a lot, and that changes your answer. Where do they fit in the hierarchy of the college football playoff champions? Because I was looking at a list from CBS, maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. They got 2020 Alabama at the top of the list, 2019 LSU second.
I would flip those.
I know people love that
but
team.
I love that 2020 Bama team, though.
And then 2018 Clemson at 15-0 as their top three teams. Now, I realize Ohio State is not undefeated, and of course, neither is Notre Dame. Do you think they get into that conversation, or they're like, hey, you got a national championship, just be happy with that?
That is a really interesting question. And based on the talent on the roster, you would think they'd be pretty high up there if they end up winning, especially if they end up blowing Notre Dame out. But yeah, they do have two losses. They would be the first two-loss champion since 2007 LSU.
Yes.
So
is that the LSU team that lost to Bama in the SEC championship game and then still got in anyway? Am I thinking of a different
game? No, that was 2011.
Okay.
Is that Jamarcus Russell?
2007 was no, Matt Flynn was was the quarterback then.
Thank you.
Because Jamarcus Russell was the year before. But yeah, with them having two losses, I don't think you can put them number one, but the playoff run has been incredible, right? I mean, just the way that they've won. They've won all three games by double digits in the first two in dominating fashion. So, but yeah, those two losses, I don't think you'll get them up close to even those top tier SEC teams and Clemson that have won the CFP.
I got them third, Kevin. That's where I have them at the moment is third.
Who's your first? Are your first two the same?
Yeah, the 2020-2021 Alabama team.
Okay.
And then the 2019-2020 LSU.
Which one is in that order? Two. Is Alabama first?
Alabama one. And last 2 years ago, Georgia, that was a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
Like that was the best team money could buy for sure at the time.
They had 15 draft picks on that team.
And that's something people have pointed out with Notre Dame is the fact they lost to Northern Illinois so early in the season and have won out. They're saying, oh, they're a team of destiny. They're ready to go all the way. The last time we saw that was TCU in 2022. That didn't end well. I think this Notre Dame team is better than that TCU team, but a lot of the time when it's team of destiny versus the team with more talent in college football, they get blown out.
And that's tough to argue against. The problem that I struggle throughout this playoff, I'm not disputing Ohio State's talent level whatsoever. I just can't get over, we're only a month removed, well, maybe a little bit more than a month removed, from them losing to a crappy Michigan team. And you can't say, well, they didn't care because it's Michigan. Like, everybody cares. But they looked awful in that game. So to see that versus this, it's been incredible.
Yeah, it's a total 180, and they needed that. They needed to get their asses handed to them at home by their rival to really put things into perspective. Because a year ago, they would have been an afterthought. They wouldn't have had a chance at this. It's funny, you know, a year ago, it would have been, you know, the top four. I think it was the two Big Ten and two SEC teams that played for the final. And then 30 years ago, Oregon just would have been handed the national title because they went undefeated in the regular season. But now, because of this, that loss that kicked them into high gear, and they finally look like the team we thought they should have been all season long.
A lot of discussion about what the tweaks will be made to the college football playoff. And of course, the bullet point on that is all five conference champions were eliminated from the college football playoff. All the teams with a first round bye lost. Is there any tweak in particular, whether it's about the buys, whether it's about something else entirely, that y'all would like
teams
to see?
Add more teams so you can have more buys.
Don't have your SEC quarterback blow out his elbow in the championship game.
Makes it tough.
That is a good
maybe
strategy.
Eliminate those championship games for your conferences.
Don't have the Big 12 get a bye because they stunk.
But they didn't, though.
I mean, that was a hell of a game, though.
It was. But, I mean, at the time when Arizona State won, you're like, isn't this like the 16th ranked team in the country?
Yeah, but I think that validated that. The fact that Arizona State did, you know, nearly win that game, arguably should have won that game. Like, yes. I think that validated. And Boise State played pretty good against Penn State for my money. But my change would be not to the seeding right now, because what Chris Vanini is a writer for The Athletic that I really like, and he's saying, you've only seen this for 1 year. I don't think you want to overreact changing the seeding after just one time around in the 12-team playoff.
Next year, all four of the teams with byes could run roughshod on their way to the semifinals, and you're like, oh, okay.
Absolutely. Not every year do you have a team as talented as Ohio State who loses those games and falls to the 8 seed, right?
Yeah.
So I would just move everything up. I don't like that this is a month-long process to determine the national champion through the middle of the NFL playoffs. I would love if, and this could be even the regular season too, move that more into August so the championship month for college football is December. Get your bowl games thrown in there, but your big bowl games, your playoff games in there as well.
I have a heartbreaking question I have to ask. When you talked about moving some more games into August, I think it was Feinbaum who said, I'm not saying who said that having Army Navy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
TV on a weekend all by themselves is a waste of time in this process. Would you want Army-Navy to be combined with other games? Should they move it? Or this is the...
I think Mike...
It's going to be fine, Mike.
Mike feels that way.
It's going to be fine.
It's only halftime.
It's not even halftime yet.
We've blown the lead!
We got the last shot, though. Almost okay. Last shot.
We definitely can't be doing live play-by-play of this, but what do you think about that Army-Navy game? Should it be shifted at all? Because that would obviously facilitate the moving up of the rest of this process.
I think it could be a part of week zero. You know, week zero, you usually get a big game in Ireland, right? And both Army and Navy have participated in that game. But if that could be your main marquee draw for week zero, in addition to the Ireland game, move that up a week into the sport, then you just, but you know, speed everything up at the end of the year. And I'm not a fan of getting rid of conference championship games. One thing I've seen the ACC throw around is that the regular season champion gets a bye. So they don't have to play. They could just get their regular season championship. Then the 2 and the 3 play to determine who would have a better shot to make the playoff, right? Because your team in the regular season, if like SMU 11-1, if they're sitting there like that, they're set. But they had to sweat it out playing in their conference championship
game
because they
lost. That's actually interesting. I like this.
But you have the 2 and the 3 play. One of those teams is probably deserving, like Clemson and Miami would have been this year. One of them wins, they get an extra win.
That's
boosts their profile. That's an interesting idea. So I can't take conference championship weekend away. The regular season has to matter and conference championships have to matter to me. But if you just want to move everything up and condense the schedule and then have the championship game around New Year, that's what I would change.
Add more games. Just add more games, make the season longer.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I'm always about that. Kevin, go ahead.
I was going to say every 30 or so years, college football just add an extra game. They used to play 9, then they played 10, then they played 11, then they
surely
added
to the
12
point where
like 20 years ago.
Have we reached the threshold of you might have to play 16 or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, these teams that are playing now, Ohio State would
what
be
they're
what?
There for school for. They're getting 13 paid
and 3.
Hold on.
They're paid a lot of money to go play football.
Hold on.
You think Ohio State or Notre Dame went to school last week?
Is this why they're also at a rapid rate expanding the NFL schedule? Because they're like, hey, it's not so many games because remember in the NFL, you got to play 18 games. And so stop complaining. We're getting you ready for the pros.
And it's looking like it's not that great for the NFL either. I didn't want to throw this into the conversation. We had this off-air conversation. This is from Television's Joe Trahan. Multiple sources confirm the 2029 college football championship won't be played at AT&T Stadium. The CFP doesn't announce when the bid process happens. Cities are invited to bid and then go through the process, which is happening now. The Cotton Bowl, which spearheads bids for the AT&T Stadium, deferred in terms of making a bid for 2029 because of two principal reasons. We heard early this morning that the schedule wouldn't open up for them. It wasn't there already. Number one, the Texas legislature is considering changes to the Events Trust Funds program.
Oh.
So there's a question of how much money the state could pitch in. Oh, and then number two, there's no certainty if the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas would be finished in time for the 2029 game.
So it's not because we're getting the Super Bowl?
It's not. Not necessarily.
I was talking to Alec earlier, and he had an interesting point. He thought that the Olympics might not be able to be held in L.A. in 2028, and that if they have to move things because of these wildfires,
they might move the timing of it as well.
They could move something here, yeah.
Oh, man. So then we might get the Summer Olympics in the winter?
I mean, we got the 2020 Olympics in 2021, so why not?
That's a good point.
There's good weather in California, parts of it.
And the Super Bowl?
I see, because as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my God, is it because we're going to get the Super Bowl?
They've already planned the Super Bowl here.
No, the NFC Championship game is happening in Dallas that year. They've already planned it out.
Can you imagine?
Are they changing to neutral site places for NFC Championship games?
Mike?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having in the same weekend, having the Super Bowl and the national championship game?
No, you can't do it in the same weekend.
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah, back to back.
Okay, just not in the same stadium. I feel like probably
they changed the grass out.
Yeah.
Don't you think the Super Bowl and the national championship is a little bit different?
No, it's a football game.
You just combo them together.
Are you suggesting
the same
having
ticket?
One at AT&T and one at Allen High School? Is that what you're suggesting?
Ooh, man, if you had Super Bowl 60 brought to you at Eagle Stadium, that would be just the most amazing thing.
Jerry's
I've ever
seen. I bought this piece of land up in Allen.
Does Allen have the best high school field?
Yeah, or McKinney, Prosper stepping up.
Okay, in the DFW area. I don't know down in like the Houston area if anything's any better. But
Corey, I'm going to need you to fix this from the 682. Notre Dame's going to win by 4. I was listening, but I've sent 4 texts, and you haven't read any of them, and it hurt my feelings.
He's reading this one.
So they're back in, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Carter. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Yep, let's do it.
There you go, Carter Freeman right here on 105.3 The Fan.
What is he going to talk about tomorrow?
The inauguration coverage.
Whatever the YouTube comments are
saying. Shut up, Mike. Don't say anything. Because I know you're going to say.
I don't think Obama's there.
Son of a gun. Coming up next.
Do all of them have
NFL playoff overreaction.
People are really happy.
Or reality. And Mike likes it. And
ooh, it's already time for that.
Who the hell knows? Next in the Fan.
Going to hand it off. Hand it off and walk it in for the touchdown is Ray Davis, the rookie.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for some NFL playoff overreaction or reality. By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier since it is involved in the NFL. Did you see that Ian Rappaport said, even though they talked, that no formal interview is expected between the Cowboys and Deion Sanders?
Oh!
It's been a heartbreaking day on the coaching update front because
he didn't really want to do it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Jerry didn't want to work that hard to make it happen.
That doesn't feel like that hard to work, right? To call up somebody you already know.
And then informally interview them?
Yeah.
You got to fly them here? Or they have to, you know.
Get on the Zoom.
Making a call to him, does that count as Rooney Rule?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think you
have to formally interview.
I hate to update person.
Which they did with Frazier and Saleh.
Yes. But from the 972, what's this crap about Brian Schottenheimer rising as a possible head coaching candidate? I heard Sean say it on Saturday. This morning, you did see a couple of gambling sites shift the money to Brian Schottenheimer at -250 to be the Cowboys' next head coach. So take that for whatever you will. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. The Lions just blew their best chance at making the Super Bowl. Now, I know, not saying they're only, and I know Dan Campbell said, hey, look, Lions are going to come back stronger than ever. And he had a great description. He goes, we had a freakish run of injuries. And I see his point on that.
Name what does freakish run of injuries mean?
I mean, they lost the most starters to the injured reserve of any team that's made the playoffs in the history of football.
Well, that's because the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs this year, Kevin.
But that's the point, right? Is that those teams don't make the playoffs.
No.
So I'm not saying, no. I like what you're thinking.
Mike up.
I was going to say, no, I think they have a better chance, but with what has happened in the playoffs and it's two NFC East teams playing to go to the Super Bowl, the Cowboys are back, and everybody needs to watch out.
Hate you for this.
Detroit Lions, you're finished. You know why you're finished? Jerry can't stand this, and he's not going to take it.
Okay, in reality, though, the Lions just blew their best chance at making the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll honestly answer no. I think that they still have a window. I don't think...
Okay.
I get that they're probably losing Ben Johnson. I don't think they're losing Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
They have a veteran quarterback who I don't think will be worse next year. I think he's at the end of his prime. There is going to be a drop-off here
pretty
soon.
And this is his last... next year will be his last cheaper year.
So I'll say they still have a 1-2 year window that's still open, but I understand it's very tough to do what they did, is to get the number one seed again.
I wonder also how much longer Dan Campbell can coach the way he coaches. He's so intense. I wonder if that wears out on players after a amount of time, especially
when that is a good question.
You haven't gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
And again, this goes to when organizations can't get to the top, they start pointing at things that are the problem, and they're like, well, if we can fix this, instead of making small adjustments, they usually go make big adjustments. And I'm just not certain how long you can keep the thing together.
Now, I mean this absolutely not sarcastically. I think Dak is in this conversation as well. Overreaction or reality, Jaden Daniels is having the best rookie quarterback season you've ever seen. Look, I know they lost, but Dak Prescott, that rookie season was freaking phenomenal. So, by EPA per dropback, including the postseason, Jaden Daniels is having the fifth best rookie quarterback season. By some other success metrics, it's third. That group includes Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Robert Griffin III. There are other players who have done really well as a rookie, but no rookie quarterbacks ever made it to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Jaden still has a shot.
It is impressive to see his growth all season long.
Yes.
You know, when it started this year, a lot of people didn't know enough about Jaden Daniels. They hadn't watched him enough to know what he was capable of. And even Cliff Kingsbury was like, let's pump the brakes early. You know, I'm not going to do anything. We're going to focus on our run game. We're going to be very effective in the run game. And Jaden, we're not going to ask you to do too many risky things. And then as the season opened up more, Cliff Kingsbury just kept opening the playbook for him. And he was able to take on every adversity that they gave to him. He had an injury this year.
Yeah.
He had a rib injury this year that he battled through. The way he's done it on the playoff stage, though, Kevin, he looks like a veteran that's been there so many times.
He really does.
And that's why I think that, yes, you're capping off this rookie season with something special, getting into the NFC Championship game. I don't know how they're going to fare in this game, but I don't think it's going to be because Jaden Daniels just flopped if they don't go on. But it will be because he was a star if they do continue to go on. So, yeah, man, we're seeing it. I think we are.
I know you're upset about missed three-pointers.
It was 55-48. Now it's 59-55. They're on an 11-0 run. We can't score to save our lives. So, Jaden Daniels, sure. Whatevs. I'm going to be like Jerry Jones in his career. Sure, whatevs.
Now, Mike, I'm going to start with you on this question just because I feel like I have your attention at this exact moment, but also because I think you might like this question.
What? Another three for Charlotte.
NFL overreaction to reality. Hey, that's all great, and we're talking about it, and all that's neat, but none of these games really matter. The Chiefs are just going to win the Super Bowl again.
No, I think the Chiefs are the most beatable they've been. Now, maybe last year they were too. Obviously, they had to go on the road and do things. I think Buffalo can beat them. I'm going to pick Kansas City. I think whoever wins that game is going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But maybe you get into a game where Kansas City has to throw the ball more and be pressed to score. What Kansas City has done great this year, all year, and their one playoff game too, is they've never been pressed to hurry up and have to score 21 points in the second half to maybe win the game. They always seem to have the game where they need it to win, and they end up always winning it. So can a team like Buffalo or whoever wins the NFC press them into a showdown of back and forth football? We've seen Patrick Mahomes be great at it, but we haven't seen him be great at it in a while.
Yeah, this is the team this year, Kevin, that's been like, you always felt that Kansas City could match up with you. They could do everything you could do, and they could do it just as good. This year, it just seems like they're keeping you from doing what you're best at most of the time.
Yeah.
And they're not even really good at anything in particular, but they're just good enough to do it. But because their defense is so good, it's keeping you from doing what you want to accomplish most of the game, and that's frustrating for a lot of teams. I don't believe that.
Okay.
I think that's overreaction, because I think any team's always beatable. Hell, the last team that was undefeated in the Super Bowl,
they lost.
Got defeated in that Super Bowl. So I don't believe that, but it's a tough team to beat this year.
Now, Alec, I'm going to go to you on this one, because we've already kind of gotten Corey and Mike's thoughts earlier in the show. Will Anderson for the Texans said after the game, we knew it was going to be us versus the refs going into this game. Overreaction or reality, you are now convinced that the refs favor the Chiefs.
Ask me this like 2 weeks ago. This is overreaction. I'm believing it now. It's reality.
Two questionable penalties led to 10 points for Kansas City. Now, not directly, but yeah, as part of those drives.
And I'm starting to believe that really just across the NFL, because you saw some of that in the Bills game as well. But it definitely feels like they have their favorites. And I know the stat going into the game, and I think after the game, I think it's 7-0 the Chiefs are this season with Clay Martin as the referee, which is ridiculous. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
That should not be happening.
Yeah.
Like, of course, some of that can just be crazy luck. But, like, you talk about two Texans players colliding helmet to helmet with each other and drawing a roughing the passer or, like, an unsportsmanlike penalty. That's ridiculous.
That was bad. That was a terrible
call. It was awful. And it just seems like these things continue to happen. Oh. And the Chiefs know it, too. They're aware. You can tell by their body language and what they try to induce. You saw Mahomes. He gets tapped on the shoulder as he's running out of bounds, and he trips over his own foot to try and draw a penalty there. They know. They are aware of these things, and good for them, because they know it's a reality.
I agree with that.
Yeah, yes. They're making the most of what they're given, which is they're given a very easy whistle because they are who they are at this point. I really thought that it was just like, it happens. Sometimes it looks kind of bad, and but no. They're definitely getting calls that they shouldn't be getting.
Now, this is the most unusual question in this edition of Overreaction or Reality, I believe. NFL Overreaction or Reality, you should be able to throw a snowball at a kicker as long as you collected only snow off the field. Now,
I didn't think of this. If you have that game and all 11 guys get snowballs, you're not really making it to the, I guess you can, but you could just all get two snowballs in your hand, and as he kicks it, all throw it up where you think the ball's going to go. It hits the ball and you win.
Now, I'm not saying go to the sideline. I think that would be unsportsmanlike.
Is there a rule against this?
Well, I would assume you would get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct.
You can't throw your helmet or your glove. Like, I get that. Like, there's rules about throwing your equipment.
But don't you think if you were in the middle of an NBA game
out of the sky,
and LeBron threw all that chalk up in the air, they'd be like, hold on.
Yeah, because that's not on the court. But this is snow that's on the ground on the field.
False starts right before they snap the ball. You get a snowball and you just plunk Kareem Hunt right in the face.
Yeah, I'm in on this one. I like this a lot.
Okay.
This is a great idea. Starts.
Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that to offensive linemen on like fourth and short?
Well,
and you just snow attack.
Here's one thing, Mike. You've seen football players come out and try and throw a baseball before, right?
Yeah, but all you're doing is this. All you're doing is like from an offense to try to get an offensive lineman to flinch. You're just taking your hand that's not in on the ground, and you just put that hand on the ground real quick, and then just throw snow in his face and see if he moves.
I'm glad I convinced you guys
like, is that Lionheart where he throws the sand in his face like that?
And there's like, an episode of The King of the Hill, too, where Dale Gribble gets in a fight and he goes, pocket sand.
Like, Broaddus, I don't know if Broaddus would know this. I don't think as like a kind of a head of scouting or a scout would know all the rules, but he would be the best to ask up here. It seems weird because nobody's done it as far as we know. Yeah. But this isn't a bad idea, is to get multiple guys if there's that much snow, and I guess they'll play in Kansas City, but Philadelphia, you get a snowball and you throw it up and try to hit the ball. If you hit it, you win.
Yeah.
From Twolo Vader on the Twitch, pocket sand is what he throws out there.
Pocket sand.
And then from Joel Martinez, by that logic, this is on YouTube, by that logic, you could make mud balls on a rainy days. So now you're saying
same concept.
It's like four fields in the NFL that don't have fake turf.
Yeah. That is true.
I agree with that exact same logic.
You make mud balls and snowballs.
Yes, and that will encourage the NFL to get their act together.
Mm.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality? This one hurts. You are never going to trust a Lamar Jackson-led or maybe John Harbaugh-led playoff team again.
They had home field last year and lost in the AFC Championship game.
By getting away from their identity again. This is why I go back to the Derrick Henry thing. They're so good at running the ball. I know Lamar Jackson was really great throwing the ball this year, but it felt like they got away from something that was working for them.
It's always scary, Corey, when a Lamar Jackson team gets down by multiple scores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 21-7 or 21-10?
I think it's 21-10.
21-10. 10. That puts Lamar in a tough situation, and maybe John Harbaugh too, and their offensive coordinator, and they can sometimes struggle in that situation and go, we're going to become a team that we're uncomfortable with. Yeah. I agree with you. But he's a young quarterback. I don't think he's going to have a long career. I think he's going to be at like 33, 34, about at the end of his career. But that still gives him
like
another
5 years. Yeah, maybe six.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So I would look at it and go, yeah, the window's still open. They have to get, the advantage has to be we're playing these games in Baltimore. I do think home field advantage does help, especially against Kansas City and Buffalo and possibly Cincinnati if they get their act together with their quarterback. I'm still not going to give up on a Lamar Jackson winning a Super Bowl.
I don't know that I ever really truly trusted them yet anyway. For fantasy purposes, I absolutely trusted Lamar Jackson this year.
Sure.
But I wasn't necessarily prepared to say that this team was it yet. After the first drive by both teams in that game, though, I was like, we're about to get a classic.
Yeah.
I really thought we were going to get a classic game out of it. And we got a good game out of it. It was good, but it wasn't a classic like I expected. But yeah, I have the only thing I've really trusted Kevin in the last, 10 years, it feels like, is Mahomes. So yeah. I don't know that I can really truly trust any other team. But yeah, that one's let you down enough.
Now, from Karita Parks on Twitter, she said she asked Derrick Henry, with a negative rhetoric connected to Lamar Jackson when it comes to the playoffs, what are his thoughts about Lamar Jackson as a player or a leader? Derrick Henry said, Lamar is what makes this thing go. He's the reason we had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd tell him to hold his head high. He's a Hall of Fame player. And I don't disagree with that, but we also have talked a lot leading into this about how the playoff narrative works. Did your team lose? It's your fault.
Yeah, and somebody just texted this in and it doesn't matter. He needs a wide receiver one. Zay Flowers not being there.
Yeah.
A huge factor.
I thought
factor.
Bateman was playing really well.
Bateman
yesterday.
Was, but that should be your two.
And he has a top five tight end. He just unfortunately had the worst game of his life.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate thing too for Zay Flowers not being there, because that is a legitimate thing throughout Lamar Jackson's entire career, is who's been that guy for him, and it's mostly just been him carrying the load on this thing, and then he didn't have that person again, and it let him down.
And then one more quick one for you. Saquon Barkley, overreaction to reality, is at worst the third best player left in the playoffs.
Josh Allen?
I would go off that assumption. That's what you're choosing. But he had 205 yards rushing. Now, I realize 140 of those came on two carries, but it seems like he keeps getting the job done.
I'll agree with it, but if we're not including defensive players,
I'm including all players.
Because I'll tell you, maybe Chris Jones.
Okay.
What about Travis Kelce? When it comes to playoffs, that dude
you're right.
is the dude.
You're right. At this point, I would have Saquon, I think, no lower than third just because he feels like, no, we'll win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's lucky that Zeke's not in the playoffs right now.
What are you doing right now, Mike?
You'll have that chance in like 1 minute to go through that. All right. That's NFL playoff overreaction or reality right here on 105 through the Fan. All content, no commercials for this part at least. And it's time for Mike Likes It.
Let's do it right now as the Mavs are up by one with 3 minutes to go there in the third quarter. Zeke Elliott. I know I just made a bad joke. I really do want to talk about somewhat one of the most disappointing careers, I'll say, in Cowboys history.
Wow.
From where he was drafted, what he was going to accomplish, and then decided not to accomplish. I'll compare it to Roy Tarpley. I know that Tarpley got suspended. If you're too young, Roy Tarpley was a 2020 guy in the playoffs pretty much against the LA Lakers in 1988 in his second year in the NBA. He was sixth man of the year. The Lakers couldn't stop him. Hakeem Olajuwon in the first round couldn't stop him. He was unbelievable and looked like he was trending towards a top five or top 10 player in the NBA, and drugs and then slash injury got him. Is Zeke Elliott. If you look at Derrick Henry and the impact he had on this year, I get he just lost, and we just talked about him. You just talked about Saquon Barkley. Besides the two quarterbacks, the best player left in the playoffs, and arguably he's probably going to get, I'm going to assume, Offensive Player of the Year.
I would assume that as well.
And then Joe Mixon. I get he lost too, but he had a really nice first round in the playoffs. Saturday, he was pretty good. He wasn't great, but he was pretty good. So I named those three guys, and then I named the fourth in Zeke Elliott. I think Zeke Elliott, for this Dak Prescott run that is coming to a close, unfortunately. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully Dak plays another 4 years for the Cowboys and has something left in him. But the whole thing was based off the fourth overall pick, Zeke Elliott, in 2016. One of the reasons, not the only reason, give Dak a lot of credit, but one of the reasons Dak had arguably the most successful rookie season in the history of the NFL was the offensive line and Zeke making his job as easy as possible as a fourth round draft pick his rookie year. If you go back to age 20, 21, 22, now they're not all the same age, but they're very close to the same age. Henry and Zeke are in the same draft. Joe Mixon is in the 2017 draft, and Saquon Barkley is in the 2018 draft. So there's only like 2 years difference at best.
Yeah, I think I looked it up. I think Derrick Henry's about a year and a half older, and Saquon's about a year and a half younger than Zeke. So he's right in the middle of
that
group.
And Mixon's right there. Yeah. Obviously, you know him from Oklahoma. Did he go all 4 years to Oklahoma?
No, he did not.
Okay, so he might be a year younger because he was drafted 1 year later. Those three guys are having major impacts in the 2024 playoffs and the 2024 season. Zeke effed over his best friend, and he effed over us Cowboy fans. I'll throw myself into this for now because I was a huge Zeke fan in 2016 when he was unbelievable and he looked like he was going to be the best running back in the NFL for at least 5 years and then still be very good for however long he could hold on to. But the reason the Cowboys are where they're at, there's multiple reasons. One of the main reasons is Zeke decided that football on his, like where he had it on his list of things that mattered the most, it was well below, and I have to be careful here, it was well below him wanting to party. And that includes a whole bunch of things that I'm not going to specifically get into, but I've talked about this before, but watching this weekend's playoffs and seeing of the teams that were in, three running backs that are still very good. And I'll throw in another one. He's had ups and downs in his career, and he doesn't belong with the four guys I named. Kareem Hunt was in the 2017 draft as a third round pick.
Wow.
So Kareem Hunt making an impact right now as he's kind of, he obviously had a major issue off the field. And after having a great start to his career, the Chiefs just said, you're done.
His whole trajectory is wild.
And then he became a backup to Chubb and kind of carried like the role as Chubb got hurt. But the Chiefs get him back and he's having an impact as their lead running back, sharing the duties.
It's true.
Yeah. But and instead they went with Zeke, who loves to party. And I just look at his party deal, and I think to myself, at 2021 and 22, and I get where Saquon Barkley was drafted the highest out of all of them, the second overall pick. Zeke was the fourth overall pick. Henry, second round. I believe Joe Mixon was second round, if I have that. It might have been third round for Cincinnati, but he wasn't a first round pick for Cincinnati. Zeke was arguably the best out of all of them. Now you can go back and go, well, Zeke's going to end up having probably, if you look at Mixon, Mixon, as long as he stays healthy, two more years for Houston, will probably surpass all of Zeke's numbers.
Okay.
More yards, more touchdowns, more receiving yards. It's going to be close with him, but Saquon and Derrick Henry are going to blow Zeke out of the water. But if you go back to 2021-22, as in years old, and then you go back to 2016 and 17 got wonky because of all his off-the-field issues because he loves to party and has not stopped that lifestyle from what we understand in 2024. So you look at Zeke and you go, he could have been the best. He was a for-sure Hall of Famer, and he decided to end his career. It wasn't injuries because there wasn't a major knee blowout. Like Nick Chubb, you could look at him if he's 2018 draft, if I have his year right. He blew out his knee. He had a major injury. And Saquon's gone through injuries. But if you look at Zeke Elliott, Zeke's the reason the Cowboys are probably effed for the next 3 years, or a major reason, because he decided, I don't care that much about football. I don't care that much about my friendship with Dak Prescott. I got a party. And I got a party every second of my life. And if football gets in the way, so be it. And because of that, the whole thing based off of offensive line, running back, and then Dak controlling that, and Dak being a great leader, was really totally destroyed by Zeke. And then it was destroyed by the Jones family believing Zeke was going to change his ways in 2019 and will give him this huge contract and he'll figure out how to be mature. He'll figure out how to stay out of the clubs and the clubs and the clubs and other places too. And he didn't care to. And I just look at it and go, dang it, guys. Zeke, you could have been something special. And he just didn't care. And the Cowboys are in a bad place, not only because of Zeke, but he's a big reason the Cowboys are at where they're at, in a crap situation right now.
I often wonder, year two, when he had the suspension after a remarkable rookie season, how much that affected like his perspective on how much he cared about this NFL. I know he's making his money and doing his thing, and I'm not making an excuse.
Yeah.
But that was a ruling that was like, why did you rule this against him? And they're like, don't worry, we have our reasons. And you're like, whoa, that's kind of frustrating that he was held out of that, because that could have been a really special second year for him. And in year one, 1,631 yards. Year three, 1,400. He probably could have added, what, 500-600 more yards his second season to everything and had a few more touchdowns to go through with it. But you're right, Mike. His body wasn't really capable of sticking with it the way that they needed to. They needed him to. He needed to be a key factor on those teams. There were other factors for sure on those teams. Those teams couldn't stop the run to save their lives.
His staying out and partying, not getting the sleep, not getting the food, the good food, not taking practice maybe as seriously as he needed. There's just so many things that he could still be in that category. If you look at where he was drafted, and I know that he got hurt this year. Wasn't McCaffrey 2017? If I have his year right.
I think that is right.
And then 18 is Barkley. So, like, you look at these guys. Zeke shouldn't be done. There wasn't. I get why Nick Chubb is.
And not done to this degree.
I get why Nick Chubb is maybe done. Because he blew out his knee. Like, it just was Willis McGahee. Like, unfortunately, sometimes those things happen. There's nothing. Zeke decided to end his career. And it's just, I look at it and go, he should still be great. They should have never had to release him. We should still be looking at him as a premium dude who has well over 10,000 yards.
And when you say decided, I just want to clarify, decided by his actions, not he, because he probably didn't think at the time they would have these consequences, right?
Obviously, yeah. And
I assume.
And then as he got older, he decided either he's addicted to that lifestyle or he doesn't care.
Okay.
I don't know Zeke, but we hear all the Zeke. Guess what? We hear all the things that you're doing.
Has Zeke had a better career than McCaffrey?
I mean, injuries, if you want to look at it, but McCaffrey, we still think can help out the 49ers next year. Zeke's career is over. Like he really ended it in New England, but Jerry was too enamored with the 2016 Zeke to see what had happened to his career. And because of Jerry's lifestyle, I don't think Jerry sees that as a detriment to a football lifestyle at times.
Now I look at McCaffrey's receiving yards compared to it. Like, that's a completely different world. Yeah. Two different backs.
And I guess you can have arguments, but my thing that I just wanted to bring up here is Zeke should still be good at football.
I didn't disagree with that.
36 years old, or Zeke's not 33 years old. All the guys that were considered premium running backs in college that were going to have impacts in the NFL, they're all still having impacts in the NFL. Last year, McCaffrey was in the Super Bowl. Derrick Henry looked like he was going to go for over 2,000 yards. Saquon Barkley, yes, he's had injuries. He was on a crappy franchise, crappy team. He got to a good franchise, good team, and now he's the best offensive player that's not a quarterback. You just look at Joe Mixon and how he's helped out the Houston Texans, what he did for Cincinnati. I don't think anybody thinks, hey, Houston better draft a running back this year because Joe Mixon's career is over.
Yeah.
Like, But Zeke's is, and if you look at what the Cowboys were trying to build in 2016, and then you got to the point where then Zeke said, I'm going to get fat, out of shape, hang out in Mexico, get suspended, who cares, show up to practice, not show up to practice.
Because that's the way it felt. Like, I'm sure he didn't go, I'm going to get suspended, but that's the way it felt because he kept doing
Yeah, he's just like, things. I can't stop this. I have to go to that place and I have to have that in my system and I don't care about sleep. And when you do that, yeah, some people can get away with it. I think it would have to be very tough in football, especially at a physical position as a running back who you want to hand the ball off to 20 plus times. You maybe want to have 3 to 5 catches a game and you want him to be the thing that the defense says, if we don't stop him, like when you face Philadelphia this weekend, if you don't stop Saquon Barkley, you're going to lose. There's nothing you can do. The first thing you have to do, and Philadelphia has other weapons, but the first thing you have to do is stop letting Saquon Barkley hit big home run plays. And if you can't do it, you can't win. And Zeke had the speed. He had everything.
Yeah.
He had everything you'd ever want in a running back, and so do some of those other guys too. And you can argue who was better their last year in college, their first year in the NFL. But Zeke had it all, and Zeke decided to pee it all away. And Dallas Cowboy fans, part of the reason you're in a horrible situation and it looks like you're not getting out of it was because Zeke loved to party and did not care about his best friend, did not care about the Cowboys. And then Jerry let him get away with it because Jerry doesn't see anything wrong with that lifestyle.
Woo! We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
You get some hits and misses from the weekend, plus a review from the massage parlor next on The Fan.
What?